Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast focused on blending research and practical advice to help today's HR, talent, and learning leaders improve business outcomes. Let's welcome your host, Ben Eubanks.
The people that I see winning in the technical talent strategies really go out into the community, and they really understand how to talk to a DevOps person or a software engineer or a reverse engineer. They really understand what that means.
Hello, everyone. This is Ben Eubanks, the host of We're Only Human, and I'm so glad to have you here today. I am excited to share a conversation with you with a marketing officer, actually. I think that at some point in a future, in a past life, I was actually a marketing professional. I love talking about marketing, digging into the concepts, really serving people well. And I talk with a lot of different CMOs, marketing professionals, and it's always exciting to talk with those that you can tell are really passionate about the industry and the people, most importantly. You know, beyond just marketing the brand or the product or the service, it's really about impacting the community in a positive way. And you're going to hear a snippet of that today in the conversation from Kathleen Smith. She's the CMO at Cleared Jobs. We're going to talk about recruiting. We're going to talk about how to rock a job fair so well that the attendees actually want to give you an award and a thank you for that. That's a neat discussion. And more, lots around the TA space and building community and all those things. I don't always say it, but if you enjoy the show, I'd love for you to give us a rating on iTunes. That helps others to find us, find the show, find what we're doing. If you've benefited in some way from the content here on We're Only Human, that would be the easiest and the most appropriate way to say thank you. I'd appreciate it very much. Now, on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of We're Only Human. In our constant effort to blend the discussion around people, technology, and the workplace, our guest today is going to walk us through some really interesting conversations around talent acquisition. You know, we'll cover everything from how to go beyond job boards, improving your recruiting performance, how to win at hiring technical talent, and even more. It's just going to be a fun conversation. I'm excited about it because of all the areas of HR that I touched on in my previous roles, recruiting was always my favorite, which is weird as an introvert. Anyway, she's a wealth of knowledge. I'm honored to have Kathleen Smith here with me today. Welcome, Kathleen.
Ben, it's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Just to get started, tell us a little about who you are and what you do. I want to give the audience a little bit of idea of your background and the credibility you bring to the table.
So I am currently the Chief Marketing Officer at clearjobs.net and cybersecjobs.com. We are job board and job fair companies focused one in the security cleared community and the other in the cybersecurity community. My role is really to find our communities where our customers are working. Our customers are both job seekers and recruiters. And my job is to learn how to engage with them, start conversations, and see how we can connect job seekers and recruiters together. My background is more in marketing and communications and really working with specific niche communities. I've spent over 30 years in marketing, and I'm really happy to see over the last 8 to 10 years that recruiting has also taken on recruitment marketing, realizing that recruiting is a form of marketing and advertising. So I'm really excited to be here today.
Absolutely. Well, I know in our conversation before, you told me some interesting things. I know you do some volunteer work as well, and we can touch on that maybe later as it's pertinent to the conversation. But one of the things that you had said to me was, you know, we know job boards work, and I clearly know they do because I see a lot of my peers that are pumping money through those things, and they're getting a lot of great candidates. But you and I also talked about how that's not enough today. You know, maybe at one point it was, just to throw it up there, post and pray, as we like to say. But there's an additional step that companies need to take to really improve their results and so on. I'd love for you to talk about your philosophy there, because it's really, I thought it was really a good point for people that are looking for that quote unquote easy way of doing this, and there might not necessarily be one. So tell us a little about that.
So unfortunately, we all like to look for the silver bullet. We try to look for the silver bullet in dieting and exercise or being able to get to a good result very quickly. And in recruiting and in job search, there is no silver bullet that says for me as a job seeker or me as a recruiter, trying to find that person to connect with, there isn't going to be a sign there that's going to tell me. We all communicate very differently. And now with the advent of so many different technologies in communication, social media, texting, posting, blogging, we all have different ways that we like to communicate and different ways we like to engage with each other. Job boards do work. They've been shown in the Career Crossroads survey for the last 10, 12 years that the number two source of hire of employers in the United States is job boards, obviously number one being referrals. But there are two sides to every job board. There is the searching and then there is the posting. And a lot of people don't spend, a lot of recruiters don't spend a lot of time on their job requirements or their job descriptions. And it's sad because I know it is a mundane part of many people's jobs. However, this is what information you are putting out there in your recruitment advertisement to be able to attract people. Too many times job descriptions are auto-generated from a requirement. Sometimes they are sort of meshed into an automation system. Then they're posted at a variety of different job boards and different sources to get the advertisement out there. And at the end of the day, it provides maybe one-tenth of the information that a job seeker really needs to be engaged with your community, with your company. So starting at the beginning and making sure that your job description is, you know, unfortunately filled with a lot of keywords so that the job seeker can find it, but also really talks about the two or three things that will make someone successful in that job. And I think that this is one thing that a lot of companies don't do. They don't stress how someone can be successful in their company or how, what kind of skills that they need to bring to the table. The other aspect of a job board is actually the searching of the resumes. And we aren't all taught Boolean search in kindergarten. We are not all taught how to really work within setting up searching. A lot of us are very inquisitive. I know that in graduate school, I had a lot of fun just searching and searching information and data and being able to compile it and use that to make informed decisions. But that is sort of an innate skill that some of us have, some of us don't. And one thing that we like doing for several of our customers, and we do this all the time, we'll notice that their search strings are not giving them the results that they're looking for. So we'll actually do 15, 20-minute training on exactly what are you looking for and what are the skill sets you're working for and maybe what are the other terms that are used similar to that. Because that's a lot of times one of the ways that companies can be successful is if their technical teams really sit down with their recruiters and explain what these terms mean that they're being, you know, what they're looking for in a new candidate. But also we use our knowledge of what do job seekers call one thing, and you know, not everyone calls everything the same. So having a breadth of knowledge and different terms really helps overall searching. And realizing that job boards have to be part of a mixture. You're not going to put all of your resources into one job board or one kind of resource. You're going to want to spread your resource out among different communication channels. Because as I said in the beginning, there is not going to be any way that says to find this one candidate, you have to use this one tool. Just like when I talk to job seekers, and I say, you know, if you look at a job requirement, there's not going to be anything on that job requirement that says to find the recruiter who makes the decision for this, you need to email or you need to LinkedIn or you need to Facebook. So we need to expand our different views, our different tools that we use to communicate and engage with the communities that we want to recruit.
Absolutely. That community engagement piece is so important, and I've seen that. I've seen that work well. I've seen that work poorly. And it's funny because I'm in the middle of this. We had our conversation initially a couple weeks ago trying to figure out what we'd cover on the podcast. And since then, I've actually started planning this workshop locally And part of that's going to be around recruiting. I'm tentatively calling it the recruiting hack track. And we're trying to get really hands-on and get some good information for the people that need it locally. And so I've done some informal polling of people. What do you need to know around recruiting? What would help you? And the answers I'm getting actually surprised me, because in my mind, it's not the thing they actually need, such as, how can I write an email that's going to get, you know, the candidate to respond to me? Or how can I find a free place where I can search for candidates? And those are the kinds of things they're asked for, or a free tool that's going to help me find these people. And while those might help them as a specific part of their practice, those are not the answer that they're looking for. And it's going to be an interesting challenge. We're going to try to shock them a little bit with all those things you asked for are not the things that you actually need to do in order to do this well. I know that a lot of the recruiting research and everything else that I've seen in the last couple of years, you know, every company has trouble hiring technical people. It's not an industry thing. It's not a geography thing. It's pretty broad. Everybody seems to have some struggle with that to some degree. What are you seeing with the companies that are winning at that sort of practice? What are they doing well? What are they doing differently in terms of their talent acquisition efforts that are really helping them to reap those benefits?
So the companies that are winning at hiring technical talent really understand the technical community. They really have been there for many, many years. So when people are talking about that they're not winning the technical talent war, and I don't really like the talent war phrase, it is because they are not understanding the person that they're trying to recruit. They don't understand what the technical professional has to go through to be a technical professional, the recertification, the challenges of most people misunderstanding what they do, and understanding how they, you know, like to live their lives. And so the people that I see winning in the technical talent strategies really go out into the community, and they really understand how to talk to a DevOps person or a software engineer or a reverse engineer. They really understand what that means. Some recruiters have actually gone and taken those courses so that they can sit down and really talk to the technical professionals by understanding their language, understanding their world. And many of the companies that I know that are very successful in recruiting technical talent participate in the community. The technical community has so many meetups and conferences and events, online events, offline events. It's an extremely active community, and they're always looking for people to help. They're always looking for people to sponsor. And they're just as confused with how recruiters work as recruiters are confused with what technical professionals do. The sad part is that so many recruiters who have come into the technical community have really burned the bridges, really have left scorched earth. Unfortunately are several blogs, Twitter handles, YouTube videos, making fun of recruiters and really showing that there's a bad side to recruiting, people who don't understand how to recruit technical talent. And what's sad about that is then most technical talent just say, well, I don't want to talk to recruiters. They're making a blank statement that all recruiters are bad or all recruiters don't understand, when that is not what's happening. And it's been part of a personal mission of mine to make sure that I get out into the technical communities, that I bring the real recruiters, the recruiters that understand and really care and have a passion for this, and help the job seekers in the technical community. Because I'm really surprised at how many times I will be at a technical conference and someone is desperate trying to find a job, and they just don't understand how to work with a recruiter. They don't understand the process. And they also already have a chip on their shoulder because they've worked with one or two recruiters and have been treated very badly. And I think that that's something we really need to change. People who are recruiting in the technical talent community really build long-term relationships. They understand that they're going to take, you know, anywhere from 10 to 18 months to be able to fill a position, which is sad, but that is the case. They really need to have some long-standing relationships within the community. And they have to treat everyone really well because, as we all know, referrals are the number one way that anyone is going to find a job or is anyone's going to find a really good candidate. And if you're out in the technical community burning bridges, not returning emails, not treating people respectfully, that is going to go a long way to, you know, your reputation not being respected in the community. But there are tons of great recruiters out there that have amazing reputations, and the investment that they have made the last several years in getting to know the community, building a good relationship, building a good reputation, it is reaping them rewards now. And they don't see that there's, you know, a shortage of talent. They just see a shortage of opportunity to provide to the new talent that they see.
I think one of the pieces of the conversation that really appeals to me, again, based on my experience recruiting technical people, whether it was engineers or even helicopter pilots doing some really specific stuff, the thing that appeals to me is the idea this isn't a transaction. I'm not just trying to get you to agree to accept this big wad of cash and come over here and do the job. It's really about getting to know you, getting to understand you, getting to understand what you'd like to do and what you want to do, and finding out if the role is really like that right for you. And that's the community aspect, I think, at its finest, and really helping to make it about that the more holistic person than just the job, just the career, just do this thing. Because when you sell someone on that, even if they bite and they buy and they come on and they join you as someone under that kind of arrangement, there's no connection. They don't feel like they're, you know, deeply connected to the organization or to you as the person that brought them in. And so there's not a lot to keep them there and make them stick around for a long period of time. And like you were saying, it costs a lot. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time and resources to find good quality technical people and to have them not feel those things and to potentially turn over even faster than someone who came into that community. You know, we're making them feel like part of a bigger mission, bigger vision. I'm trying to wrap my mind around even how much that is. It's crazy.
Well, what's sad is that career strategy and career pathing is not taught anywhere anymore. And so some good recruiters are playing career coach at the same time as being a recruiter. And a good job seeker is also going to be thinking about their careers, and they can have a really good conversation of, okay, I can fill this position, but what is my career path within this company? Because quite frankly, we don't all like looking to find a job. We just want to be someplace. We want to make a difference. We want to add value. We want to get recognized. But if you're just coming in to be a butt in the seat, be a cog in the wheel, and then leave in 11 months, that's not good for you and that's not good for the company. So I'm really very frustrated that companies in general are not really looking at how do they build a career for their technical talent. You know, this is going to be one of the ways that the shortage is going to be taken care of, is if companies are really looking at, okay, I have someone who is a front-end developer. That person may not want to be a front-end developer for the rest of their life, but they've worked well with them in the team. They understand the company. Where else can we get them to go? Where else do they want to be part of the company? This is something that I'm really fascinated in as far as cybersecurity is concerned, is that people in finance or healthcare or retail are going out and trying to find new people to be their security departments or their cybersecurity departments, rather than taking the staff that they have in-house and saying, okay, you understand the FSMA financial regulations, you understand healthcare legislation, and are there other things that we can teach you that you can help us with our security department? And I'm just fascinated that there are some companies that are doing that. Some people are looking inside their ranks to grow their technical talent, to grow their next CISO or CISO. But a lot of companies are just going out and starting fresh. And who better than someone in your company that understands your culture, understands what you do? What better person there to train as your technical staff to be able to help form what your new security practice is going to be internally? But I'm just one person.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that was one I didn't expect the conversation to go towards the career planning part of that, but that's one that I am actually focusing more on this year, and I did last year as well, because it's one of those areas that, for the same reasons, like, why would we not make some effort to keep this person by helping them envision what their next role or their next two roles could be with us? Let's think. Mm-hmm. Let's put it this way. If you can't see what your job looks like 6 months from now, you're going to start imagining yourself being somewhere else. So why don't we give you a vision of what it looks like here instead? In the data, there's some neat research from Wharton that actually says if we bring in an external hire, they cost more and they perform less for the first 2 years on the job. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. why not find that internal person and use their knowledge of our culture, our company, the things that we do, our customers, all those things have value. And we completely throw out the window when we start only looking and only considering external candidates.
Well, when you're looking at technical recruiting, we have to understand that to stay technically proficient, a lot of, you know, our professionals need to have recertification exams, certification exams. They need to move on to the next level. And all of those certification exams are, and courses are, several thousands of dollars. And I am so amazed at how many employers do not pay for that for their staff. They do not provide that as a benefit. And most of these courses are somewhere else. They don't provide time off to do it. They don't provide the travel. And I really think that that's one way that a company can differentiate themselves, is being able to say, well, we know that you need to be recertified. We know you need to go to these courses. We'll take care of that. But the flip side is also all of the conferences. If you want to recruit really great talent, really highlight and showcase the great technical talent you have. Be sure that if there is a conference that they can present at, if there is a conference that they would like to present at, be supportive of them doing that. Be supportive in the sense of helping them fill out the presentation proposal or their presentation in general, and making sure that they have time off to go to the conferences. Most of the conferences that I speak at and I participate in are on Saturdays. I'm ruining my, you know, weekend schedule for the next 8 months. But it's really sad that most of these technical conferences have to happen on the weekend, because technical staff are not given the time off during the week to share best practices with each other, to congregate, to find out what's new and important in their industry. Most of the folks that are in technical work, in security work, are really people who are very inquisitive and they're very passionate about fixing problems. And they'll constantly go to an event or a conference where they can learn best practices or learn, you know, the new way of doing something. But very few employers are very supportive of that kind of, you know, passion seeking, and they just see it as games and fun, and they don't see that it's keeping technical skills sharp and it's about learning what's new out there rather than waiting for the vendors to send out patches and such. We have people who are actually creating solutions on the fly, and then they're sharing that information with other people, which can only be a benefit to a company.
Let's talk about one of the aspects of that community piece that we've talked about that I think that a lot of employers are familiar with. That's the job fair. You know, mm-hmm. The people we're targeting at this, it's a narrower subset of the community we're thinking about, and typically they're there because they're specifically looking for a job or they're considering another opportunity. But also, a lot of the times, career fairs are combined with educational conferences and things like you're talking mm-hmm. about. For those companies that are showing up at a career fair, help us out. What are the things that they can do to really stand out, to get results, to make a splash and make a difference, I guess, for those people they're interacting with? I can think of probably the worst thing to do is to show up, put your booth up, and sit there looking bored. but other than that, let's talk about the other side. That's our let's shy away from that, but give us something to aspire to. What have you seen some companies do that's really working?
What I love about job fairs is we've been doing them for about 17 years now, and you'll hear people say, oh, you know, I don't go to them. They're not happening anymore. They're old school. What's interesting is I'm noticing, as you said, a lot of career events being put alongside of conferences, and that is one type of partnership that we do with many of our colleagues in the industry, we also see that career fairs are having sort of a different flavor. They're more evening technical hiring events, networking. People say, oh, we don't do job fairs, but we do technical networking events. Well, technical networking to me is the same thing as a job fair. So it's the same animal. We're just, you know, dressing it up a little differently. But you're right. A lot of people will go to a career fair and they look like they make it seem like it's a burden to them. And if you work for a really great company and you're getting out into the community and able to talk to people about how great it is to work for your company, how can that be a burden? And I do see so many people who come to a career fair and they will set up their booth, they'll set up their table, they'll set up a sign, and they'll hide behind the sign and be on their phone the entire time. Well, realize that a job seeker has more than likely taken the day off of work or scheduled time away, gotten a babysitter, and has put on their best suit, is coming to a job fair, and really is interested in talking to a recruiter. So the first thing you want to be is approachable. Hiding behind your desk, hiding behind your table is not being approachable. And two, they want to engage with you in a conversation. They're nervous. They know that, you know, they have to put their best foot forward. Making them comfortable, engaging in them in a conversation. Because what that job seeker is going to walk away with is, how good did that person make me feel and how much information did they provide that? So I really tell our recruiters that come to our conferences and to our career fairs, please really be very approachable. Understand that people want to talk to you and they want to be, you know, able to just walk up and have a conversation rather than trying to find you behind your table. In doing all the job fairs, we have found that recruiting teams that put their best foot forward really build great talent pipelines. And it's not just talent for an immediate hire. They really build for the future. They've given a face to the name of the company. They've given a face to exactly what it's like to work for that specific company. And about 10 years ago, we started to see a really negative sort of downward spiral as far as the job fairs were concerned, because a lot of people were looking for one very specific kind of talent. And that is when we started to see the recruiters putting up signs saying, you know, only approach me if you have this specific skill set. And that was a big turnoff. But we then also saw recruiting teams that would not only bring recruiters, they would bring technical hiring managers, or they would bring someone who was a veteran or someone who actually did the job that they were recruiting for. So job seekers could, you know, interact with someone and say, oh, this is someone who does the job that I'm applying for. And I get to really find out what it's like to do that job. And we really considered this a best practice. And we were trying to figure out a way to sort of encourage more best practices within the career fairs. And we found that the person that really is the best judge of if the event was a good event is the job seeker. So we established what was called the Best Recruiter Program. And what we do at every single one of our career events is we have the job seekers vote at the end of the event for the recruiting teams that provide the best overall recruiting experience. And this has been just a fantastic program in the sense that the job seekers have really embraced it. They really give us good feedback on which companies were the best that really provided the most information. Recruiting teams have actually become a little competitive as far as who gets the award for the best recruiter. And management teams have been really embracing this program in the sense that if their teams win best recruiter, they may give them, you know, an extra bonus. They may highlight them in the company newsletter because, you know, a lot of companies really don't like their recruiting departments. There seems to be sort of like, oh, they're just recruiters, when they don't realize that the recruiters are the people who bring on those great employees who are going to work alongside with you. So the Best Recruiter Program has really worked very well. We have a lot of people who are very excited when they get told that they've been voted Best Recruiter. At the end of the year, we bring all of the best recruiters together and we celebrate them. We celebrate them with a great breakfast with a keynote speaker, because we know that many companies do not set aside budgets to send their recruiters to conferences to learn what's the new technology. So we usually bring in someone who's a really great national speaker to present at the Best Recruiter. And it's also a really great time to just sort of celebrate a great year of recruiting. And it's great to see some familiar faces every year. It's also great to see new faces. So I'm really excited that we have this. And this is our 10th year. We're really excited.
One of the things that occurred to me as you were talking is the parallels. I don't know if you've noticed this, but the parallels between the types of kind of self-education or grassroots learning efforts that technical people put together, like WordCamps and all these other I don't know all of them. I'm not a technical person, but those kinds of things, alongside the types of efforts that recruiters have to put together, SourceCon, some of the other things that seem to have grown up, and it's really a hardcore, you don't show up if you are generally interested in recruiting. You show up because you are really focused on being your best, and you're investing in yourself to the degree you can, everything else. I think there's a lot of similarities there between the two audiences, and it's funny because we seem like we're on separate islands at times. We need some help trying to connect and understand each other. But if we help those two audiences see that they, in those cases, are very similar in their approach, in their investment in themselves, in their dedication to their profession and their craft, I really think that's just a neat kind of parallel I've never stopped to even think about until some of those things you were just pointing out.
It's so right. It's when you're a recruiter, you're a people person. You're someone who wants and does make a difference in someone's life every single day. And recruiting is not formally taught. It is something that is learned, and you learn best skills from colleagues, whatever research you do. And I would say the same thing for most technical talent. Some people say they go to college to get a computer science degree, but most of the technical people that I know, they just fell into it. And they liked it, and they started building their tool set of skills and certifications, and then went and found something else that they really like. So you're right. There is some similarities about the way the career paths are being developed.
Excellent. Well, one of the last things I want to ask you about, because I think it's interesting. I mentioned earlier you do some volunteering, a lot of volunteering, I'll say. One of the things that you've done, though, is around Recruit DC. I'd love for you to talk a little about the education piece, because that's been part of the conversation so far. And I mentioned that earlier, how some of the people that I've chatted with locally, and I don't think they're that different from people across the U.S. or even across the world that are trying to sort this out and trying to be better recruiters when recruiting might not be the thing they spend all their time on, or maybe they just are getting started and trying to figure out what to do, what to focus on, how to be better at this. Because like you said, it's not like there's a – you can go and put in a coin in a vending machine and get your recruiter certification, your recruiter knowledge, that awareness, because a lot of those things have to be learned over time. But at the same time, there's an educational component. So can you talk a little about the kinds of education that really make a difference for those? What sort of things should they learn, kind of core fundamentals, or even who should be teaching this stuff? We could spend all day talking about that, but I'm curious, just for a few minutes, could you point out what works, what you've seen work in terms of the education piece through your experience working with Recruit DC?
So Recruit DC was started several years ago by a group of local recruiters who really wanted to share best practices, but also really understanding, as you pointed out, that there was no formal training program out there for recruiting in general. I mean, there are certain programs for sourcing and such, but or different programs to learn online. But in the Washington, D.C. area, we have so many different industries. We have finance, academia, we have healthcare, and then, we have one of the largest employers in the country here, and that drives a whole industry in itself of the type of recruiting we do in the security cleared community and government contracting. There was no conference happening on the East Coast that brought recruiters together to learn best practices. And as I said earlier, very few, if any, of the companies that I work with set aside time or resources to send their recruiters to a national conference. So even though there were trends that people were talking about in social media or in blogs or articles, they weren't reaching the baseline level here in Washington, D.C. They were not reaching the people who were the front lines of recruiting in these various different industries. We also wanted to look at a way of elevating best practices outside of just someone's cubicle, because we were hearing stories of someone doing a really great military transitioning engagement program, or someone who is doing a really great job in recruiting technical talent, or someone who was building a really good employment branding campaign and engaging in social media. And those were things that it was practitioner to practitioner to be able to share. But that requires a framework. One, it's finding people, finding those people. Two, encouraging them to get in front of a group of people and present. I mean, we have two or three people now who are on a national sort of scale and presenting, but in the beginning, they literally had to be dragged onto a stage and we had to make their PowerPoint presentations for them because they were very nervous. So we really became, I like to say, an incubator for several of the speakers, saying, you know, you have really great knowledge, share it with other people. Or just bringing people together and saying, I have a really hard time finding full scope Java engineers and my boss doesn't believe me. What else are other people doing? And getting people around a lunch table and just talking about practices, but not only just practices in recruiting, but practices on selling internally to management and to hiring managers and program managers, what recruiting is all about. And that is one thing specifically in the government contracting world, which is difficult when a company is bidding on a project. Rarely do they talk to their recruiting department and say, this contract requires 20 people with this specific skill and this specific salary. Can we get that kind of person? And a recruiter can come back and say, well, this is what we can get. Too many times companies will bid a contract, not talking to their recruiting department, say, oh yeah, we can find that staff, you know, at that cut rate very easily. And then the recruiter has 12 days to find 50 people with a skill set that they don't have the salary range for. So back to Recruit DC and the sort of what we learn. As I said, we always make sure that we have something on veteran recruiting or engaging military spouse and engaging the military communities, mainly because they are a very big source of talent here in the Washington, D.C. area. We do talk about sourcing. We talk about technical recruiting. We talk about technical resources that are free to many recruiters. It's amazing to us how many times people have not heard what a Chrome extension is or being able to use various different licenses with various different job boards. It's also great to share what works in different industries as far as social media. I mean, when social media came about, I didn't think it would have an impact in the government contracting world, but it has. And so how you develop a social media team, how you engage with people who are trying to find jobs on social media, that is, you know, a topic that we talk about frequently. One of the other topics that we're seeing more and more is, how does a recruiter become an advisor to a leadership team? How do they manage up within their organizations rather than being reactive and taking job requirements, being part of the proactive, how are we building our talent strategy? How are we building the long-term view rather than the recruiting department being at the end of the line and just accepting whatever jobs are needed to be recruited for, being part of, you know, what new businesses are we going into? What kind of talent do I need to start engaging now so that, you know, in 8 months when I need to find that person, we already have a talent pool. And I think it's also overall just best being the best professionals that we can be, reminding people that, yes, you may have everywhere from 50 to 75 different requirements to fill on a daily basis. You are dealing with people and being a person to them is the best way you're going to be able to recruit.
Absolutely. Can't forget that in the hustle and bustle and the shuffle and everything else. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the numbers and the metrics and stuff. And that's one of the things that I always reiterate when I'm talking about, especially talking about data, but talking about any of these things is just a human element to it. And it's easy to forget that person we're talking to, they're not just a candidate. They're an individual with a story, aspirations, dreams, a family, all those things behind them. And making decisions, they don't make a decision just based on whether you have a slick pitch. They factor all those things in when they're trying to decide what they're going to do and where they're going to go. And if you have the heart of a teacher, you mentioned this earlier, specifically, you know, helping them, taking it easy on them because they're usually very nervous in a career fair kind of setting or things like that. Mm-hmm. Taking that educational approach versus just trying to sell them on a job, it feels different from their perspective, from the candidate perspective, and it also gets different results as well. That I've seen that, and would definitely agree with your point there. The comment you made about recruiting as a government contractor took me back because it's been a couple of years since I did that. But one of the funny things that I used to do, completely random, was when I would go on a recruiting trip, I would try to find an Italian restaurant and have a calzone. And that became like my trend, my practice every time I'd go somewhere. And so I've had them all around the U.S. from these different restaurants and stuff. And the best one I ever had was still down in Louisiana. I was going down there to recruit a team that was on a contract, trying to get them interested in us as an employer and all that fun stuff. But goodness, that took me back. I've forgotten about that fun stuff. All right. So any closing comments, any points you want to reiterate, anything else before we close up? Companies out there, the people that are listening, they want to be great recruiters. What final advice would you give them?
If you're going to be in recruiting, be passionate about it. This is the one thing that I'm frequently amazed about when I talk to anyone looking at a new career or that is in their career and they're not happy, is be passionate about it. If it's not something you're passionate about, it is going to be something that's going to affect your overall results. So look for another career. If making a difference in someone's life every day, even though you have to deal with a lot of heartache and a lot of anguish, at the end of the day, you are making a difference in someone's life. And if that is not something that really floats your boat, please do yourself a favor, find another career.
Excellent. I would agree with that completely. If you're not going to love it, get out. We don't need you. Mm-hmm. There's another job out there great for you, and this is probably an ad. How can someone get in touch with you if they want to learn more about the work that you're doing on your day-to-day, if they want to learn more about the Recruit DC? You know, is there a specific place they could go? How would you recommend they get in touch?
Well, you can always get in touch with me through our company website, so clearjobs.net or cybersecjobs.com. I'm on LinkedIn at Kathleen E. Smith. You can also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is yesitskathleen. For Recruit DC, it's recruitdc.org. We share all of our presentations, our upcoming events. Our next event is May 24th in Fairfax, Virginia.
Excellent. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been great. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's been a true pleasure for me. Take a lot of notes. Really enjoy the conversation. To everybody else, I appreciate you listening in to another episode of We're Only Human. If this episode's been helpful for you in some way, please take a moment. Share it with a friend or colleague that could use it. I'd appreciate it, and I know they would as well. Thank you, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you for listening to We're Only Human. Please take a moment to share this episode with another HR leader who might see it as a valuable resource in their daily work. For more information about the podcast and to see all our show archives, please visit upstarthr.com.